RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hamas released six living Israeli hostages today under the terms of the ceasefire. Four of them were kidnapped October 7th. Two of them have been held for more than a decade. ABC's Inez de la Cotera has details from the foreign desk.
Tal and Avera first released from Rafah, the other four hostages from points in central Gaza, all of them escorted by masked Hamas gunmen. In exchange, Israel releasing hundreds of Palestinian prisoners as phase one of the ceasefire deal nears its end.
In the U.S., President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth purged Pentagon leadership, firing the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff along with the chief of naval operations. President said he's had good talks with Russia over ending the war in Ukraine. Russian state media now says officials from Russia and the U.S. are set to meet again in 2 weeks. The Vatican says Pope Francis slept well, as doctors for the 88-year-old said Friday he'll spend at least another week in the hospital where he's been treated for pneumonia. This is ABC News. Los Angeles County's new district attorney is putting a roadblock in front of the Menendez brothers' attempts to get out of prison for murdering their parents decades ago.
In a statement, family members of Eric and Lyle Menendez are condemning new L.A. County D.A. Nathan Hochman's decision opposing the brothers' attempt to get a new trial. Hochman casting doubts on the brothers' claims that they were sexually abused, and if they were, he says that does not constitute self-defense for murdering their parents in 1989.
Sexual abuse does not justify killing your parents.
Hochman still has to decide if he will support or oppose a brother's resentencing over their claim that they have been rehabilitated in prison. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A federal judge in New York indefinitely adjourned the corruption trial of New York City Mayor Eric Adams, but did not drop the charges. He's appointed former Solicitor General Paul Clement to argue the merits of the government's request to do so. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Every story matters. And the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson. The Milwaukee historian and teacher travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey, and I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Some Wisconsin tribal nations are using renewable energy to reassert supremacy over their communities while creating opportunity. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Tribal nations have historically faced challenges to own and control their own electricity, even though a significant number of plant and utility infrastructure are in close proximity to reservation lands. Isaiah Ness founded Sunbear Industries after witnessing disproportionate opportunities in the renewable energy space.
There's not much disparity in the type of person that was receiving solar. It was one of those things that you could see the common trend very easily.
Ness now helps indigenous and minority communities in Wisconsin to build renewable energy infrastructure with an emphasis on intersecting cultural appreciation and economic opportunities. The Menominee Nation is working to achieve energy sovereignty by 2035. Part of that vision began with their Solar Elder Project, which was created to ensure elder community members are never without power during outages.
It makes more sense for them to have on-reservation power-producing plants and facilities that are also sourced from clean energy, and then for them to be able to reinvest into their own community.
Community partnerships and grants have been a crucial component to the progress Indigenous communities have made thus far. Uncertainty looms on whether programs like these will be included in proposed spending cuts under the Trump administration. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. This story was produced with original reporting from Robert Chappell for Madison 365.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 32. Clouds tonight, lows around 18. A touch warmer for Sunday with a high near 41. And we shoot into the upper 40s for Monday with partly sunny skies. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, and highs around 48.
It's 5 degrees at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Monday, we kick off at 2 p.m. with a discussion of Maggie's Metrics. What makes local officials and elected judges good, bad, or just downright ugly? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hidney Cup gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jacob. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, it's Leonard Peltier Day, and we are so excited. So much happening earlier today. He was let out of prison in Florida, and it was funny. I'm friends with Stevie's Van Zandt, who used to be on the Sopranos, but before that he was in Bruce Springsteen for many years.
Yeah.
He was there.
I saw that post.
And he also did a music video yesterday on Leonard Peltier, which is pretty awesome. I took a look at it, just dropped. So Stevie must be been in the battle for a long time.
Yeah, I did not know that. I didn't know, you know, it's great to see so many people being able to reunite with Leonard after all these years. And what a day. I mean, it reminds me of that quote from Smoke Signals, Dega, one of our favorite movies, and Gary Farmer during the basketball scene. And he was talking about, you know, how they won, the Indians won for just that day. And it kind of almost feels like that today.
Well, that's really cool that you mentioned that, because there's a clip that was put out there by Indian Collective. And it's kind of noisy. There isn't a directional mic, but what he had to say, if we could play that, is very, very powerful. Could we try and play that?
Yeah, here it is.
We're going to give up. We're going to win. We've been winning. We're going to continue to win. We're gonna stick together. We're going to unite. As it is right now, we've been united all through indigenous countries in We're gonna fight back. We're gonna continue until we are a free nation. I gave 50 years for that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm gonna give the rest of my life.
Oh,
so yeah. I am not broken.
Not broken.
Yeah. Wow. Very powerful. I don't know if I could say that if I was under those same circumstances, but you know, a lot happening. I know a lot of our friends are down there too, like Rachel, she's down there, and I'm sure her husband Vinny and their baby are down, or I should say up there, North Dakota, right?
Yeah, shout out. Thank you, Indigenous Protector Movement from Minneapolis, for being there. Shout out Indian Collective. I want to shout out Angel White Eyes, who was the photographer out there, boots on the ground today with Indian Collective. If you're able to head over to our live stream on social media, you can check out some of those pictures. But yeah, Leonard got off the plane around 4 p.m. Central Standard Time in North Dakota today. What a great day. What a great day to be Indigenous. It was blue skies all across Turtle Island, at least, you know, in Florida from what I've saw, and definitely here in Minnesota.
Speaking of which, we're streaming live on Blue Sky right now, and I want to give that social media a big shout out. And I know a lot of people have been watching us on there, and just look up Native Roots Radio, and it'll be under Robert Pilot, and give us a shout out and a share and a like. And we know it's really important to get that bio rhythm going.
Hey, yeah, get over on Blue Sky to make that transition from the good old Twitter to Blue Sky. I still have to call it Twitter, so that says, you know, enough.
Yeah, I guess there's a generation after you now. Now you're not the youngest Gen Zs. There's a new one I just saw.
Yeah, those next generations, you know, we just keep coming, as they say, stronger and stronger.
Yeah, and I want to give a big shout out to Rachel. We're going to have her on as soon as possible. But we also have our guest today, Ruth Anna Buffalo, who really did a lot of work too in the last quite a few years, and had met Leonard many times in prison and visited him in the last few years, and it's been very important in supporting this. Ended up being a commuting, but a release out of prison at the very least, for Leonard to be able to live his last few years. And I'll tell you, Haley, he'd look pretty good.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about that when I was looking at the pictures and when he was talking, and you know, he said it didn't break him, and he's not broken. And really, it is so nice to see him out in nature again with that sun beating on his face, and he just had his fist up in strength, and he really looked good. It really looked like a new day for Leonard, and I would say, you know, us as a community as a whole.
I'm just assuming Indian Collective had a lot to do with the transportation, and I saw those guys on the plane too. And when Leonard got off the plane, he had an Indian Collective jacket on, and I want to get one of those. But, you know, giving a big shout out to Indian Collective. They've been doing some great work these past few years. And like you said, they're on top of it with the photography. Also, a friend of mine, John Anderson's there too, who was Clyde Belcourt's like personal photographer for many years, and he was there too, and he is there taking pictures as he does. And
awesome.
We're just really excited. This is a really excited day, and I'm sure we're gonna have Dr. Stately on later too, and he's gonna have a lot to say about it, I'm sure. It's Leonard Peltier Day here.
Yeah, absolutely is. And I know tomorrow, February 19th, there will be a Welcome Home Leonard Peltier kind of community gathering, which will be happening at noon on Wednesday. This will be at the Sky Dancer Casino Event Center in Belcourt, North Dakota. So tomorrow, starting at noon, there's going to be a community feed and honoring our elders as Leonard returns home to his homeland.
Wow, that's tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So they must be having some kind of get together with just the family then now, and close relatives.
Yeah, that looks like a good time. Also, looks like Indian Collective is playing a big part in that. So Pinigigi again, they also said the event will be live streamed on Indian Collective's Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So we will be sure to share those on our pages as well tomorrow once they go live.
Yeah, I saw you were really on top of sharing things too via Native Roots Radio. And of course, we're on. A lot of you right now are watching us from Facebook Live and YouTube and Blue Sky, so you can watch us live there. And if you would have been just watching just a minute ago, I had a sneezing attack, and Haley took control of the show, as she often does, and I appreciate you and that. Hey, I know we got only a couple minutes left in this segment, and we're going to probably talk a lot more about Leonard Peltier Day and the release of Leonard. I had a lot of stuff going on this weekend here in the Twin Cities. I went and saw a book reading from a writer out of Madison, Wisconsin, and then you were at a powwow, and so there's always things to do here in the Twin Cities and all around Turtle Island on the weekends if you take a look at what's happening on your calendar, and we try to keep people abreast on what's happening in the Twin Cities and our tribes in our area.
Yeah, it's always, we got a lot of stuff going on in our native communities here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. I was actually able to head down to Prairie Island or Tinta Winta's powwow this past weekend for the 1 p.m. grand entry on Saturday. And that was my first time being there. And I know that your grandma, Robert, and then my grandma, your aunt, would always go to Prairie Island. So just, you know, putting out tobacco and showed up in a good way and had a great time. So thank you, Prairie Island.
Right on. And that's what it's about. And we're really, really excited about the rest of the show. We're going to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on next. And it's just a day of celebration. We're all very happy. And this is Native Roots Radio. I am awake. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are so happy and proud to have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo on, who is president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And just always great to see you and check in. But what a day today. I'm just seeing pictures and videos of Florida and now North Dakota. I don't know. I'm really excited, Ruth.
Yes, it's a good day.
Yeah, definitely. And we were saying earlier before you came on and just said how, you know, you were presenting to people that clemency should happen and things should happen for our Uncle Leonard. And I just have to give you a big shout out because I know you're very busy and have been very busy, but to spend time with him and talk to him and support him and his family have been really important, and he really looks really good.
Yeah, it's a good day. I also want to acknowledge my big brother through our clan. He's a late big brother, or you know, our late Malcolm Wolf. Today is Malcolm Wolf Day back home at the Mandan Hidatsa Nirikara Nation. So we're from the same clan, the Awakhe clan, dripping earth or dripping dirt. And he was my older big brother through our clan, and so today is Malcolm Wolf Day back at MHA. But yes, for sure, definitely happy for Leonard, his family, and just wish him well in the future moving forward, and hope that he gets many more years on this earth. And I think it's a really good step forward for healing. And I just want to acknowledge, you know, those that are hurting, if this is a tough day for them as well, you know, we want to make sure that we are being mindful of all the families, you know, throughout Indian country and non-Indian country, and how do we come together to find that healing, because we definitely are in need of some healing in our country. With these are our original lands, and so it's our responsibility as the originals of these lands to encourage and move that forward. That healing is so important. So Mazigadads, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of healing too, your Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center helps with that. And we're always so proud and happy to have updates on what's going on there this week. And also just a brief history. We've been around 40 years, and I know we have a lot of people that come on the show and listen to the show for the first time. Maybe we can just give a little background of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities.
Yes, thank you, Mazgirads. Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center just celebrated its 40th years of existence this past September 16th. And currently we are opening our doors, the community room, the gym, for a warming space, emergency warming space that was sort of birthed out of the encampments being displaced with explosions and fires that were taking place. And so we took action and reached out to the encampments and were able to assist since January 6th. And so I believe this is our sixth week of providing support and services for our unsheltered relatives. The goal is to help get our relatives into self-sufficiency and onto the road or the path of recovery. So just really want to commend the grassroots on the ground, the work that's been ongoing. And our job here is just to assist and help move that work forward by providing a space, you know, weather permitting. But we're also moving to do once a week resource connects here in MIWRC in the community room, inviting all the providers, all the different service providers, from mental health to housing, you know, streets to housing, all the different groups out there, to come to the community room Tuesdays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll have meals provided, and it's just a good chance for people to get connected to resources.
So that is,
we'll be doing that once a week, and then we'll also be doing the emergency warming centers contingent upon the weather, though, or tracking the weather. And so we did extend until tomorrow. We opened on, gosh, I've been working 7 days a week, 24/7. So we opened, I believe, on Sunday, this past Sunday at 5, and we were going to close today at 3, but we're extending it another 24 hours and closing tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, that's heavy duty. And I'm curious, too, does Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center have a Rule 25 expert there for people that may be trying to seek some help?
We do. We have two experts within the drop-in center, support worker staff, and we're also in the process of expanding the drop-in center to providing meals on a regular basis. But yes, we are definitely strengthening our partnerships with existing outreach workers and, you know, all of the above. You know, I've been asked the question a lot of, if and when MIWRC will bring back treatment services for our women. So it's definitely a huge need, and we are at capacity at 35 people, but we still encourage people to stop by. You know, that 35 capacity is for overnight, but we are still keeping our doors open for people who want to come in, get warm, get a meal, get connected to resources. We are also, you know, in need of volunteers too. If there's different agencies and organizations that want to come help us out, we're still providing a free training in partnership with AICDC for the month of February. So we have one more training for the month of February. It'll be this Saturday, February 22nd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Contact myself to get registered and signed up. And so we're just, you know, trying to help the relatives as best we can. And we're learning every week that we've been open for the Emergency Warming Center. Hearing a lot of good feedback from the community saying this is one of the best warming centers around. We are low barrier. We ask that individuals do not use within the building or on the property. But you know, you come here, you get welcomed by community members, and you know, it's just for, by, and with the community of American Indian women and their families. So, Ma Zigadads, thank you.
Yeah, it's just amazing. One of the things I don't think we really talk about, what we are national, is that what is the address of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? Where is that located?
We're located right in the middle of East Phillips neighborhood and now Ventura Village. So the address is 2300 15th Avenue South. We're right off of Bloomington and not far from Franklin and a few blocks from Lake Street. So we're right in that, they call it the Native Corridor.
Corridor?
So, yeah.
Minneapolis Native Corridor, right, Haley? I always get things mixed up. That's why it's great to have Haley here.
The American Indian, I think, Cultural Corridor, something like that.
Yeah, we're Kitty Corner from All Nations Church and the new development there across from All Nations Church is Mille Lacs. You know, they're putting up some apartment units, I believe, and so yeah, we're not far from All Nations coffee or the Powell grounds, and then we're not far from Aldi either. We're just a couple blocks from the Indian Center.
And then that famous restaurant everybody likes to go to, Maria's.
Yes, I haven't been there in a while, so I'll have to.
They have some pancakes that people, I can't remember what they're made out of, but people always say get those pancakes. And whenever you go to Maria's, not to take away from the Indian Center or the Powell grounds, you always see somebody you know.
Right. Yes, for sure. Yeah, that's the thing. It's good. But I have an empty iced coffee back there from Powell grounds. Yeah. Fresh, about a couple hours old. Yeah. So I usually have my background blurred, so apologies. And I got a coffee. Yeah, it's been long days for sure.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize how hard you and your organization are working, especially with all the things that are happening in the community and happening. So, hey, we have, we want to take a break here, and we have a Rachel who's in North Dakota, and we want to get her on. Is there any last things, how people can support Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Yes, for sure. Go to our website, miwrc.org. There's a big donate tab there. But also, you know, you mentioned that, you know, how hard we work as an organization. But again, it's in partnership in unison with the community. You know, we're just here to help move the good community-led work forward, you know, where we can. So definitely community-led efforts definitely are the way to go. And just want to give the community members who have been doing this work all the props.
Right on. Thank you. Great to see you, Ruth. We'll see you soon. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we have Rachel Thunder, and she's in her car, and she's going to give us a big update, hopefully, on our Uncle Leonard and his landing in North Dakota. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hamas released six living Israeli hostages today under the terms of the ceasefire. Four of them were kidnapped October 7th. Two of them have been held for more than a decade. ABC's Inez de la Cotera has details from the foreign desk.
Tal and Avera first released from Rafah, the other four hostages from points in central Gaza, all of them escorted by masked Hamas gunmen. In exchange, Israel releasing hundreds of Palestinian prisoners as phase one of the ceasefire deal nears its end.
In the U.S., President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth purged Pentagon leadership, firing the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff along with the chief of naval operations. President said he's had good talks with Russia over ending the war in Ukraine. Russian state media now says officials from Russia and the U.S. are set to meet again in 2 weeks. The Vatican says Pope Francis slept well, as doctors for the 88-year-old said Friday he'll spend at least another week in the hospital where he's been treated for pneumonia. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks beat the Wizards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks held on to beat the Wizards 104-101 in Washington. The Wizards' Chris Middleton had a chance to tie the game in regulation but missed a shot from the three-point line. Giannis Antetokounmpo asked what are his first impressions of newly acquired Kevin Porter Jr.
His past 2 games I've played with him, he's able to get to his spot, create for others. Defensively, he's so good, knows how to use his hand and his body. Man, I'm not even going to lie to you. I love playing with him. I love him a lot. He's like the steal. You know how you have your steal of the draft? Like we had the steal. That's a steal for sure.
College basketball, number 16th ranked Marquette, losing on the road to the Villanova Wildcats, 81-66. The Golden Eagles have now lost four of their last six contests. And the Milwaukee Panthers scored a win on the road, 84-74 over the Youngstown State Penguins. The Panthers play at Robert Morris tomorrow at 1 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 32. Clouds tonight, lows around 18. A touch warmer for Sunday with a high near 41. And we shoot into the upper 40s for Monday with partly sunny skies. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, and highs around 48.
Currently, it's 4.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will break down all of the most recent news and how it affects all of us here in Wisconsin. Plus, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yeah, I want to howl after that. I don't know, Haley. I just, or is that a different spot, right? Hey, we have our friend Rachel Dion Thunder, who's on the ground, boots on the ground right now as normal. And thank you so much. I know things are happening down there. I really appreciate you jumping on and giving our listeners an update. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. I don't have long, so I'll just give a really quick update. Leonard Peltier just arrived to Turtle Mountain. He just crossed over the res line and is now on sovereign land, and it is being escorted to his house, his residence that's prepared for him. So just a little bit of context for those of you who don't know who Leonard Peltier is. He was the longest held Indigenous political prisoner held by the United States government for the past five decades, for the past nearly 50 years. And today was his release date from a commutation of his sentence that was granted by President Joe Biden. On his last day in office, his last 20 minutes in office. And so today was the official release date. He was released from USP Coleman in Florida and was escorted to an airport and flown here to North Dakota and received an escort from, you know, community, from Indian Collective, from AIM out of South Dakota, to the res line, and he was greeted by many, many cars and many people, and it was such a good feeling just to see him finally come home. And so we're just following right now. We're following the line of cars here on Turtle Mountain.
Well, I know you and your husband have been really big. Also, I want to say that Rachel Dion Thunder is a co-founder of Indigenous Protector Movement, and we really appreciate all the visibility and the work that you and your husband and the people that are involved with Indigenous Protector Movement are doing in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis. I just got to put that in there real quick. And we really appreciate you coming on, and I really appreciate what you had to say on Friday, too.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Robert. It's been a busy, busy few weeks. And then we have Wounded Knee coming up. Course, honoring the late Frank Pero. You know, with Leonard coming home, and him being in prison for 50 years, there were so many people that worked for his freedom, that gave so much of their time and of their lives that are not here for us, that prayed for him to be free. I think of Leonard Crowdog. Frank Pero, Clyde Belcourt. I think of all of those that have journeyed on, that fought so hard for him to be free, and I know that they would be really happy if they were here with us, and I know that they're celebrating from where they're at. Maybe it took them being there on that side to help him be free.
Yeah, and I know, again, too, all the work, the walk that you did and the updates that you gave us on Native Roots Radio, I'll never forget, because, and then I ran into you guys in Washington. I was there for ICWA, and you were just coming to Washington. It was just amazing timing and great to see you and all the people that are doing this work and boots on the ground and continue to. And we're on the same flights to Wounded Knee, so I'm excited to hang out with you and the other Indigenous Protector Movement people.
I'm gonna pass the baby over to you on the plane.
But, well, hey, I got good experience now.
Choker Robert.
I do want to say that, you know, like, because you mentioned the walk that we did in 2022, and just, you know, advocating and bringing awareness and politicizing the, you know, Leonard Peltier's story and bringing him back into some frontline, you know, media and conversations. And then after the walk, I really want to commend Indian Collective, because they've done this, they've done the end of the work here, you know, like the lobbying, the conversations that it took with the administration, the continuing on the fight, the campaign. You know, they organized the caravan to DC, and really want to commend them for that job that they've done. And just,
yeah, and earlier too, we saw photos from our friend John, and he Leonard had an Indian Collective jacket on, and I want to get one of those.
Yeah, I saw.
Well, I know you are driving, and we want you to be safe, but we really appreciate you bringing this up. Is there any way that we can support Leonard's homecoming that's legitimized that you could send us to? And also your organization, could you give us any kind of shout out how we can do that?
Yeah, so our organization, we have Facebook and Instagram. It's Indigenous Protector Movement. And then as far as like donations for Leonard, I would say to just wait until Indian Collective posts anything. I know that there is an official family fundraiser too, and so those are the only two that I know of. Don't get caught up by scammers.
Right. And that's why I want to bring that up, because you know there is people out there that would like to benefit from this that shouldn't, and it's the family, and again, Indian Collective and your organization too.
Yep. And I mean, and there's a lot of work that is still left to be done. And I do want to say, and I'll say this like closing remarks, because I'll say this, you know, when we started the walk, it seemed like spirits were low for Leonard. It seemed like a lot of people had just kind of maybe given up. And I just want to say that this is an example of what happens when we don't give up. And when we unite as Native people, as sovereign people, and we come together in a good way, in a traditional way, through ceremony and through prayer, and we stand together, there's nothing that we can't do. And today is a testament to that, because Leonard Peltier just came home.
Right on. Oh, great segue. Rachel Dion Thunder, our friend, the Indigenous Protectors, and also our friend just in community and spirit. Thank Big Peeny Geek. Thank you for dropping in and giving us this great update.
We just pulled up at the casino, so I'm going to hop off in here. Thanks, Robert.
Go double your money.
I don't know about all that.
No, I'm kidding. Hey, thanks, Rachel. Wow, Haley, should we see Dr. Stately's in the bullpen? Maybe we can grab him and get his thoughts. Hey, yeah. Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic and our friend. Great to see you. What a day. With all these things going on in the community, you know, it just shows how resistance and things like that can pay off in the long run. Welcome.
Bonjour. Yeah, that is great news. I got to catch the tail end of that conversation. Yeah, her and Ben are doing some really amazing work. I'm really proud of them. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I think that what she said towards the end of her conversation there about, like, you know, people maybe are feeling, you know, exhausted, maybe they were giving up, because this has been a 50 plus year fight, you know, good old 45, at least 48 year plus. I feel like I've been since I was a teenager, in my late teens, early 20s, I've been listening to this conversation we've been having as a community, a national community, to try and get Leonard freed.
Yeah, yeah, I remember, I mean, the 90s was such a big push, and we thought Clinton was going to do it. We had all these documentaries, Robert De Niro.
I know. I thought it would be... I thought for sure Obama would do it, because I thought maybe, just maybe, you know, brother from another mother would understand those things. But it's like, I just, you know, I'm happy that it happened. I'm really, really happy for him and his family that they get to be together. He's not well. He has poor health, and, you know, I can't imagine a worse way to end your life and to be alone in prison and be away from your family. That would be a horrible way to go. So I'm really grateful that President Biden found the compassion and the courage. You know, I think other people weren't courageous enough to do it. I think they probably might have wanted to do it, but they weren't courageous enough to do it. They didn't want to, you know, maybe expense their political cachet, you know.
Well, Dr. Stately, I think personally that we've had people in government talking to the presidents, whether it's somebody working for the administration that's Native American, that was really big on this, and I'm sure it was able to talk to this president. And I don't know if we've had that in the past.
Probably not. I mean, I think, you know, it was remarkable that, you know, we have, you know, this last president, the President Biden, one of the first presidents, I think, that has, you know, done such a remarkable job of putting you know, indigenous people in places of leadership. You know, Deb Haaland making that appointment was a really big deal. Like, I mean, that was historic. We never have had a Native woman or a Native person leading the Department of the Interior. You know, it's like, it's just not. So, yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think also, like, the timing, it's, you know, it's interesting to me. Like, I've heard a couple different conversations from different places, you know, Texas, like, you know, no Native person has said this to me, but, like, other people, like, I know in my life, you know, non-Indigenous people, like, one person who's a, you know, police officer, and, you know, like, well, or has been a police officer, said in my presence, like, well, you know, he killed FBI agents. And I said, well, actually, the evidence on that was really thin. Mm-hmm. I said, but, you know, like, nobody's, like, what? Look at what the new president just did. He, you know, people were killed in those, in that attack on the Capitol, and they were hurt and did much, much worse. And they all got pardoned, but nobody's like up, you know, I don't see a lot of people on that side of there being upset about it. So
we're here with Dr. Stately. We're going to take a quick break and talk more about this and what else is going on in the community and the clinic. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are grateful and awake. Oh,
you're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Oh. We're going to howl for your advertiser now, Dr. Stately.
Nice. I was going
to be like, welcome back. And it's always great to see you. And we, you know, we talk seriously, but we also have a good time. And this is kind of a serious good time right now. The meaning of having the longest political prisoner in the history of the United States being released, and is a symbolic thing for us as Native people, and we really need to unite, is what I've been hearing from everyone that's been on.
Yeah, well, we have to unite. There's so many reasons why it is really critical for us to unite and to be being vocal, using our voice, you know, using our words and also like what Rachel was saying earlier is like, you know, this, you know, this is what resistance and endurance and resilience looks like, is we don't give up. We pray and to remember to call on, you know, those ones who are on the other side. You know, she mentioned, like, you know, it's sad that, you know, Frank is gone, Clyde's gone, there's, you know, Dennis is gone. There's all these individuals who sort of like worked hard to make that happen and you know, and advocated and you know, marched and organized rallies and all those things that we have done over the last 20, 30 years to try to get him, you know, out of prison, federal prison. And they're on that other side, you know, and that's maybe where they could do their most good, right? They could use their spiritual and ancestral power to sort of sway the forces in the direction of a positive outcome. I think, you know, a lot of the times, you know, my own life, and also, and even over the last several weeks since the beginning of this, you know, this administration, which has been challenging to say the least, I've been smudging almost every day and putting out tobacco and asking for ancestral wisdom and power, and to show up and protect and to give us strength, and also to do what they could on that side to sort of affect change, because we can't forget that, like, you know, our ancestors are with us all the time, whether we realize it or not. We can't see them, so we forget to know that they're there sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they're there, and we just have to, you know, call on them and ask them to come help. And it is challenging, very difficult times right now. Last night, as I was making dinner, I was cooking dinner for my kids, and I listened to a podcast. I think Megan Chakravarti, I love her, On Point, like interviewing, like, the, you know, these folks who were talking about, you know, the vaccines, the significant dip in vaccines that we're seeing in our country and how they've gone down over the last several years. And, you know, Native people across Turtle Island have some of the lowest vaccine rates in the United States. The only thing that was different for us in our communities was when COVID-19 hit, we like did a really great job of, you know, mm-hmm. getting our communities, and then also communities around us, you know, vaccinated mm-hmm. and supported. So when we pull together, we can do some amazing things. But I think the thing that was disturbing about that is, like, you know, now we got this guy in the RFK Jr. Overseeing all of health, human services, and division administration, and, you know, he's making decisions about research, cutting research funding. They're making decisions about who gets funded to do what kinds of preventative care. They took down the CDC website for a few days. They mm-hmm. took down the Indian Health Service website for a few yep. days. They tried to lay off 1,000 IHS employees a couple weeks ago. And mm-hmm. I think one of the things that was thankfully reversed, and, you know, it has never been that this is one of those fights that's equally important. You know, we just went through a flu situation here. I think yeah. everybody in my clinic got sick. Mm-hmm. My whole family got sick. I was sick for 2.5 weeks. It reminded me of, like, when I was sick with COVID, it was like almost as bad. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things I would tell people is, like, you know, we have to pay attention to these things. We have to try to remember to, you know, that our health and our well-being is foundational to our ability to be strong. We don't have strong sovereign nations if we don't have health. It's like a really important principle that we just have to recognize. And so doing those things that we can do taking care of one another, keeping each other safe, encouraging people to get vaccinations for things that can, can actually make you very ill and cause you, for people who are specifically vulnerable, older people, our elders, people who have immunocompromised disorders and those kinds of things, and young children, they have substantively more to lose when they're exposed to something that there's a preventative solution to. So I was listening to that that podcast, and I was like, oh man, this is like, he has with the stroke of his pen, Robert Kennedy Jr. could just, decide to make vaccines practically impossible to get for people who rely on Medicaid or rely on the federal government. If you have private insurance, you might be able to be more successful to get it, but like people who are poor, people who don't have a lot of resources, like on tribal communities and reservations, and people who, like the people I serve in my community here in South Minneapolis, don't have access to those things, and those things will become less and less available if he has his way. So we should be speaking up and using our voices and advocating and pushing back and calling this what it is, which is the political coup, and then also calling what is happening, which is illegal, and it borders on a form of genocide that is it's mm-hmm. not okay.
Well, and that's why it's important to have you on the show and all our people that come on here, because, we've gone through a lot with the way the election went and the disappointment and then the first few weeks, and it's just draining. But that's their goal, is to us to be worn down and not keep on resisting.
Like, I've talked to a few people, and they're like, I just stopped listening to the news. And so, like, you can't not the time to stop listening to the news, not the time to stop paying attention, not the time to not speak up, not the time to not be contacting your, if you live in red states, if you live in red states and you have a Republican representative or senator, contact them and say, you represent me as well. You don't just represent the people that voted for you. You represent all of the state, or my district. I'm concerned. I want you to address these things. I want you to stand up to tyranny. I want you to stand up to these things.
AOC is saying that's working. So keep it up. Keep making.
No, absolutely. Right. And I think, we just have to remember, Creator gave us a voice for a reason, right? Gave us a reason, and that voice needs to be loud, strong, and clear clarity, right? And speak the truth. And when you see something that is incorrect, speak up and say something about it. Because real lives are at stake here. Real lives are at stake.
Big Peeny Geegee, Dr. Stately, thank you for stopping in and on this great day, and also reminding our relatives what the task is ahead for us to resist. So, Big Peeny Geegee, thanks for coming on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And Leonard Peltier is home.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump implementing a military leadership shakeup.
The president is firing the country's highest ranking military officer, General C.Q. Brown, and he's firing other senior leaders. Now, President Trump isn't saying exactly why he's firing them, but he has made it clear that he wants to get rid of anyone in the military who supports diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts.
To ABC Selena Wang, the president said he'll nominate Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Kane to take over his chair. The president dismissed a news report that said he was considering traveling to Russia in May. He said negotiations with Russia to end the war in Ukraine are going well. Russian state media says more talks between U.S. and Russian representatives could occur in 2 weeks. Hamas freed all six hostages in the latest exchange with Israel today. And Bybit, a major cryptocurrency exchange, says it was the victim of a hack that stole about $1.5 billion of digital currency. This is ABC News. Inspections are planned for some tunnels in Boston after debris fell from the Prudential Tunnel. There were no injuries. Officials believe it was caused by freeze-thaw action. The mayor of Los Angeles fired the city's fire chief amid outcry over how the city responded to last month's wildfires.
Mayor Karen Bass's firing of LAFD Chief Kristen Crowley comes weeks after Crowley publicly criticized budget cuts to the fire department that came under Bass. Since then, Bass has been facing outcry for being in Ghana when the fires broke out. Now Bass firing Crowley.